The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer greatly from the elders, the chief priests, and the scribes, and be killed, and on the third day be raised. Then Peter took Jesus aside and began to rebuke him. "God forbid, Lord, no such thing shall ever happen to you." He turned and said to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan. You are an obstacle to me. You are thinking not as God does, but as human beings do." Then Jesus said to his disciples, "Whoever wishes to come after me must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whoever wishes to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. What profit would there be for one to gain the whole world and forfeit his life? Or what can one give in exchange for his life? For the Son of Man will come with his angels in his Father's glory, and then he will repay all according to his conduct." The Gospel of the Lord. We have a contrast between the first reading and the gospel today, but there's also a lot in common if you think about it. The first reading today, we hear the heart of a prophet speaking. "I try to stay silent, and I can't. I can't hold it in. I can't endure it." It goes against who a prophet is to stay silent. But what is the heart of a disciple? This gospel today, we have Jesus speaking about the spirit of true discipleship. Now, this gospel comes in the Gospel of Matthew quite a bit late. It's now this time in between when he sort of concludes his public life on Mount Tabor and they start their journey to Jerusalem. This part of the Gospel of Matthew has a lot of parables. Jesus three times talks about what is going to happen to him when he gets to Jerusalem. He sets a tone for that teaching that follows in today's gospel, a teaching that is very grave, that he must suffer greatly, be killed, and on the third day be raised. I think we know that the disciples still aren't sure what that means, to be raised. And then there's this conversation with Peter. I thought a lot about St. Peter this week because I was working on this homily. And St. Peter is a very complicated person. Because last week we hear Jesus give him the keys of the kingdom and say, "Upon this rock I will build my church." Since last Sunday's gospel and today's gospel, they were on Mount Tabor, where Peter, James, and John witnessed the glory of God in Jesus. Now this, where Peter is saying, "God forbid that anything like that should happen to you." Perhaps he was speaking more of as a friend than a person of faith who's already seen so many wonders of Jesus. Then following that is the Garden of Gethsemane. A lot of people forget, you know, they remember how Peter denied Jesus three times at the house of Caiaphas on Holy Thursday night, but they forget that he was the one who actually picked up the sword and cut off the soldier's ear to defend Jesus when they were in the garden. Peter and Jesus are not reconciled until after the resurrection, when Jesus asks him three times, "Do you love me?" So what we hear in the gospel today seems like a really hard teaching about what it means to have a heart of a disciple. Deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow me. If you wish to save your life, you'll lose it. If you lose your life for my sake, you will find it. Well, this isn't foreign to, these are not foreign concepts to those of us who live the life of the sacraments in the church. If you reflect on the reality of a husband and a wife, The sacrament of marriage is total self-gift to each other. I tell my grooms and brides that what they're doing isn't going to be so complete that when they're finished with their vows that there's nothing left. They've given themselves completely to one another. Then they haven't entered into the sacrament fully. It's the same with priests and religious who give their lives to God. I'll never forget my brother John. I thought at the time he was being ordained a priest. I thought he was kind of throwing his life away. And I was at the ordination. I was a little angry with him, to be honest. I was at the ordination where all of a sudden, all of the candidates, the ordinandi, they call them, the ones to be ordained, they lie prostrate on the floor as the church sings the litany of the saints. The symbol is so powerful that those men who are being ordained priests are dying. And then as soon as the litany is done, they rise and they're immediately anointed, and the church teaches they're a new reality. They've completely closed off that last part of their life to be something new. So this concept is not that unusual for Catholics. Deny yourself, take up your cross, follow me. If you wish to save your life, you'll lose it. But if you're willing to lose your life for my sake, you will find it. Well, why is that? And why do we have such difficulty with that? On one level, we all know that God knows us better than we know ourselves. So that even if we were to gain the whole world, he knows we would lose ourselves. We could take that just on face value for what Jesus says. But then there's the other part that says there's nothing that you can exchange your life for. There's nothing worth more than anything else in the world than your life. And by the way, that life is not yours. It's God's. It's a gift. But in the back of our minds, we still say, but there surely there must be something that is just mine, right? Well, if we're put on this earth to give ourselves away, at the heart of Christianity is this truth that all of us might admit is true. It's what makes Christianity, Christianity. Religions other than the so-called Abrahamic faiths are generally self-focused. We're put on this earth to give ourselves away. We might even believe it and acknowledge that despite this core truth, we're not very good at it. There is always something we want to keep for ourselves and for those we love. I wonder if it's possible that this lack of detachment can betray our faith. If we say something and don't really live it, might it be why some people, even our children, turn away from religion because of our confusing or even hypocritical witness, however unintentional it may be? Others are watching and learning from us. One of Jesus' core teachings that shows up several times in the Gospels, he said, "Let the little children come to me." And he says, "Unless you become like this child, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven." Maybe Jesus regards children as the ones who naturally are able to do exactly what he is describing, to give themselves so freely and accept without criticism. It is the time we all knew before we got so complicated. That is why we must become like them. We've been there before. Maybe they were our truer selves. It made me think of this song. I do love Into the Woods by Stephen Sondheim. And the last song of the musical, listen to the words. It's called Children Will Listen. But I'm going to change out the word children for others. Careful of the things you say, others will listen. Careful the things you do, others will see and learn. Children, others will look to you for which way to turn to learn what to be. Careful before you say, listen to me. Still, there must be something that is just ours, right? Of course, but we're too willing to settle for little when it is actually God who has given himself to us, God himself is ours, no less or more, but all of God. Is that something that you can say today? Is that something that you can be? You see, this gospel can sound like a great deal of loss, but from this lens, it is something different entirely. Deny yourself, take up your cross, be willing to lose your life, but only because God has already created the path by which you will gain everything of this and so much more.